Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so happy that we get this opportunity to come together as people of God and worship Him. That's what we were made for. Nothing more, nothing less. And what's amazing to me is that we tend to make it a whole lot more than that, don't we? I was studying this morning because this month is my turn to take with teaching the children, and we don't have any of them here today. So I won't be doing that, but I was actually, because today is family communion, I was actually going to teach the kids on communion because it's hard for them to grasp the concept of what communion really is all about. And as I was studying it out, this one phrase caught my attention, like slammed me right between my eyes. And this is what the phrase was. Jesus doesn't expect us to die like He died, but He does expect us to live like He lived. A lot of times we are so afraid that, oh no, I'm going to have to do something so huge and big in order to, you know, serve the Lord. But it's just live like He lived and loved like He loved. And that's all it's about. That's all it's about. Everything else just lines up and comes into place. So as we're gathering this morning, I want us to remember that He is the reason that we worship. No other reason. It's not because you like to worship, because you may be in a funk today, but you still need to worship because we need to bring that sacrifice of praise to Him this morning. I do want to make an announcement that next week is Emerald Care. And Emerald Care is several of our ladies are connected and our gentlemen are connected to Emerald Care, and we love it. It's a nursing home down in Wapato that we, that's on the calendar once a month to go down and just love on them and do what God wants us to do. And I'm saying I haven't done anything except go and receive because it's just been so wonderful and beautiful. But James, Stephanie, Barb and Ken, they just put so much into it to really make the residents there understand how much the Lord loves them where they are. And I think this month is baptisms. Is that right? Baptisms this month. So if you're interested in going and you would like to go, it's at 3:00 in Wapato, but you want to see James, Stephanie, Barb, Ken for directions. And they'd be happy to give you directions. So those of you that are able to and want to, please stand. And we're just going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we're so thankful this morning, God, because even though it's church day, it's you day, it's God's day, it's the day that we get to, not have to, come and worship you. And Father, I pray that our worship would be sweet, but that it would be true and it would be what you want to hear from your kids. So, Lord, we're just going to love on you this morning. We just pray that you would just direct everything that is done and said. And this morning, God, we just commit this whole time to you. You're here. You are here, Lord. The kingdom of God is in me. So nothing needs to come. You're already here. No one needs to come. You are already here, God. So, Father, may each heart resonate that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was going to go right into communion, but Barb really is being burdened to share a testimony. So, come on up, Barb. I'm sure it goes right along with the moment in the spirit.
Okay, I'll stand. Okay. I need you to pray for me because I am so weak right now because the enemy doesn't want me to say I'm trapped. The enemy does not want me to share what I'm about to share. So I want you to listen, I want you to hear, and I want you to know that what I'm about to share is about Ken and I.
but it's about every single person in this room, every bloodline that is a part of who represented it right here in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Keep coming, Lord. It started months ago, but I won't burden you with all of that because God knows you don't want to live some of what we've lived, and I don't want to live what some of you've lived. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord is alive. The Lord is alive, and no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you think you can't go through, yes, you can, because the Lord is doing it. He will carry you through. But what I do want to share is the last 48 hours, because that will impact you probably a little bit more than all the rest. But I have to tell you one little thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. About, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks ago, whatever, I had an appointment. It was just kind of a follow-up thing, an annual thing. And, I try to always be ready in the Lord. And, boy, did I get hit. I got flattened. Because the report was not what it was supposed to be. It's not what I claimed before the Lord. The physician's assistant came in and said, "Doctor just wants me to tell you this because he's going to need to see you again." He said, "You have two greater than 1-inch kidney stones in each kidney." And I thought, no, I don't. 6 months ago, I was clean. I've done everything that they asked, everything that was supposed to happen. I even gave up my soda. Yeah. And that was a hard thing, let me tell you. So that's been a huge burden. Every prayer warrior I know, I called and I said, "I'm not going to believe this. I'm not going to live this." But yet my back hasn't stopped hurting. At work, I stand at the foot of those 8 stairs and I think, "God, I can't get up these stairs, but you can carry me." All day long, 10 hours a day, up and down those stairs, up and down the stairs, because once I get the top of those stairs, I get to my car and I'm ministering to people. And then I've got the grace I need. Somewhere I've got a Kleenex too. I've got it. Thank you. But my faith has been weakened and weakened and weakened as the days and weeks go on. And I thought, "No, Lord, I am not going to have 2 lithotripsy. Not 1, but 2. I'm not, Lord. You're going to heal me. So before the 27th, I will be healed." So, the last 48 hours, Ken got really sick, maybe Wednesday night, I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. We wound up at an emergency dental clinic because he had a huge abscess tooth. And Ken just plummets. When Ken gets sick, he just drops. Blood pressure, oxygen, everything. He just drops. And it's like almost working with a corpse. I thought, "No, Lord. I don't feel good at all. And now Ken's down. And we won't stand for that. But God's good. God is faithful." And He knew that in my weakest times, Ken has prayed for me. In my weakest faith, those prayer warriors have interceded for me. And so I kept praying. And I just kept praying that Ken would be better. Everybody knew, start praying for Ken. We've lived it too many times. Start praying for Ken. And then Friday, a postcard came in the mail. From a woman I met a month ago. Just for about an hour, we had maybe 10 minutes together. And she was inviting us to come to a prayer. prayer service, or a, I don't know what it was called, but it didn't matter. And I thought, Lord, I want to go. And I know Ken needs to go. I do too, but, you know, he really needed to go. And Ken just kept saying, I can't do it, I can't do it. At 10 to 5, heaven broke loose. Ken started feeling so much better. Ken was able to eat. By 10 after 6, we were in the car, and nothing but anointing started pouring on us. Every person that walked in that room headed towards Ken. People that we knew from years ago started coming praying for us. Dr. Sunny came, and he walked up to Ken, and he said, you have an anointing on you. You have an anointing on you that is wisdom. And now the Lord is giving you supernatural wisdom. And he called out, kidneys need to be healed. Kidneys need to be healed. Relationships need to be healed. And this is where we're all coming in. Relationships. Our weakness in our spiritual life. Our weakness in our relationships with our spouses and people that are in our life, whether we like them or not. So that place came on fire because the Lord came. Jesus. So think about where you've been the last 48 hours, the last 6 months. What has it been that's plaguing you that you haven't been able to let go of, that God hasn't touched? Because your hands are still on it. The Lord is Lord. And he wants us to just be present and love him. And I want to tell you, when they prayed for my kidneys, when we walked in the room and two women who knew me, my right kidney started burning. I thought, thank you, Lord. But when we walked out of that church, both my kidneys are burning. And I have been claiming total healing. And I intend to completely claim total healing. But I want you to know, you have total healing too. Because we serve a God that bled for us. We're getting ready to receive communion. What greater day for communion. So, Lord, all those healings that happened last night, Lord God, and all the healings that you have for this family, we thank you now because you're not limiting it to just one little room. Healing and relationship with God, relationship with the Father,
yes, thank
and
you.
The Son. Your will be done.
Yes.
Your will be done.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, that is a good promo for communion. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, we do. We thank you, God, that healing, Lord, is in communion, God, and relationship and common union, Lord, is with you in communion, God. So, Father, I just pray that, Lord, that as Barb has shared, Lord, that her need, God, is being met, Lord. That whatever need, Lord, is in the individual when they come to take communion, whether it be a closer walk with you, Lord, a more intimate relationship, God, or whether it be, Lord, their eyes being opened, God, to being able to see who they are as a child of God because of what you've done on the cross. Or, Lord, maybe it's a healing, Lord, of a marriage, or it's a healing of a broken relationship with someone else. Father, we know that you are the one that brings healing to our lives. And, Lord, for those who are physically ailing today, Lord, I believe, God, that as we participate and as we share, Lord, in that common union, Lord, with you in communion, God, that an impartation will take place of life, an impartation of health, an impartation of restoration, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you, Lord, that you were broken, beaten, and battered, and you are worthy, Lamb of God, that you were slain before even the foundations of the earth, that was in the very heart of the Father and the heart of the Son and the Spirit from the beginning of time, that you would be the worthy Lamb. And we thank you, Lord, that it wasn't an activity that took place 2,000 years ago that we just get to remember what you did for us. But Lord, we get to enter into the power of communion this morning. We get to enter into the finished work of the cross of Christ. We get to receive the life, Lord, that's in the blood, and the brokenness of the body, Lord, will restore and heal us. We thank you, Lord, for those promises. Oh, we come to communion with faith today, Lord, believing, God, that the two elements, the bread and the juice, are more than that in the Spirit, that they truly are a representation here of what's real in the spiritual realm of your body and your blood, and that your blood speaks better things for us than the blood of Abel. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Hallelujah. Well, this is a family communion day, so for those of you who are guests, what we do is we just come up and we grab the elements, grab a little cracker. Over here is gluten-free for anybody that is gluten intolerant. Someone asked me, says, if it's the communion, why do we need to worry about, you know, the bread being gluten-free? I said, well, we're just trying to honor people. I'm gluten intolerant myself, so anyway, I want you to go ahead and come and grab the elements, and we'll just receive together as a family, because this is about family, as it says. Communion isn't just about an individual, but it's also about the family of God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And what I do is, when I take communion, it's as if I'm getting saved afresh again, because I'm remembering what the Lord has done for me and the good things that God has done for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do you need someone to get you one, hon? Oh, good. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask a couple different people I always bless the elements, but I'm going to ask Moses if he would just bless the body and just prepare our hearts to receive the body. There's a mic right behind you, Moses, if you're good with that. Get tired of hearing my own voice all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's muted. Just a second, so.
Sorry, Jesse.
Did everybody get... Everybody's good?
Amen. Everybody good? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great mercies.
Yes.
We just want to come before you, Lord Jesus, and just remember the great sacrifice that you did for us, Father God.
Yes.
In this world that's going chaotic, Father God, with all this noise around us, Father God, we know that we can come to this place, Father God, of communion and partake of your peace and your love and your joy, Father God.
Mm.
We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and given us, Father God. Because we know that you are a provider, you are our shelter,
yes.
You are everything, Lord Jesus. And it's an honor to come before you, Lord Jesus, and do this in remembrance of you, Lord Jesus, and the great sacrifice that you've done so we may live in communion with you, that we may enter at any time to your throne room, to your presence, whether it be here in the service, Father God, or at home, or at work, in our cars, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for this peace.
Yes.
That only you can bring, Father God, through this great sacrifice. We thank you for everything, Lord Jesus, that you give us.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father God. And we honor you, Lord, today as we take this bread, Father God, in remembrance of you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and take the bread now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being broken, Lord, so that we could be made whole. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We could get a sermon, but I'm going to have James pray for the cup. He could bust loose. So. Thank you, Lord.
Thank Let you. Us hold this cup up here today.
Thank you, God.
The wonderful shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
The one who is the all in all. Today, if any one of us today have any problem, any situation, call upon the mighty hand of this man God.
Yes.
He will bring it for you. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and be a part of your supper today.
Yes.
Lord, lives have been spoken in this place, Lord. And Father, we see in the supernatural that is coming to be.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Excuse me, Lord, but my heart's heavy right now, Holy Spirit. Let us take of this cup. Let's take it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
I feel you in this place right now.
Amen.
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 I feel it.
Thank you.
Do you feel him?
Yes.
Amen. I feel him. Since my sister come spoke, I feel him cover this room.
Hallelujah.
With the clouds of joy.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, Pastor Gay senses in her heart maybe someone needs prayer. Yes. What a great time for prayer. Do you need prayer, hon? Connie, do you need prayer? Or maybe have a couple of women and lay hands on Connie and just bless her. She's got a foot that she's wanting full healing on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
He is good, isn't he? I agree, Barb, full healing. No surgery in Jesus' name. With the word of knowledge, with the demonstration out of the mouth of two witnesses, thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Adam. So is Adam's the can he stay up today? Is that good? Okay, he's good. All right. You have something? Are you ready, hon? Oh, he's getting the treats and everything.
Sure, why not? That's a good part.
Okay. Well, you made it. Oops. I need my iPad. Well, this is a message from a couple of weeks ago. Not that it's been preached yet or anything, but when Josh Crofton was here sharing, I didn't know how long he was going to go. He didn't know how long. See you guys. Bless you. Love you. How long he was going to go? So we had this message all ready to go, and it was an acronym again. I think we had the acronym the week before, which was ASK. If you guys weren't here, if you go to Matthew 7, I believe it is, it says, "Ask and you shall receive; seek and you shall find; knock and the door will open for you." Well, that little acronym for ask, seek, and knock is ASK, which we learned. Asking is not just separate from seeking, and seeking is not just separate from knocking, but they all three go together in a heart of desire and prayer before the Lord. So you got a little sermonette there on that one. That's on the website at onelifefamilyworship.org. It's all ran together if you want to listen to that. So RPJ, not RPG, when I first... put this down, I actually put RPG because I was thinking RPG, you know, like, and I said, wait a minute, joy is not out of a J. You would have caught it, I'm sure, but somebody said, oh yeah, probably before it got here, hopefully. But Jesse said that RPJ could be rocket propelled Jesus and rocket propelled joy, I think is what you said. So we can still make it work. But actually, RPJ means righteousness, peace, and joy. So again, we're looking at a three word term. And the reason threes are really important because they bring in the principle of a wholeness. We are a spirit, soul, and body. And that makes up the wholeness of who we are. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That three makes up the wholeness. And so the righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Spirit, which we'll learn, makes up the wholeness of the kingdom. And a lot of us think, you know, the kingdom, we think of, you know, just a guy on a throne, and we think of him making edicts and orders, and then people just have to obey and listen to him, and then, you know, do what they're supposed to do and follow his orders. And that is a natural kingdom. God's kingdom doesn't quite work like that. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you don't have to wake up in the morning and you get a text message from God, this is the edict for today? And if you don't do it, there will be consequences. Is anybody else glad that that's not the way God's kingdom works? I am. Thank you, Lord. So let's go ahead and take a look here at the scripture. This is in Romans 14:17. And it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now notice that it's righteousness, peace, and joy are coming in the Holy Spirit. They're not righteousness, peace, and joy that we're trying to conjure up ourselves. Right. We're not trying to, you know, manufacture our own righteousness, our own peace, our own joy. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So we will learn what that means. But why this was so important at the time is that they were very, very, very stringent on certain new Christians. And they were Jews who had become saved, but they were trying to put on these new Christians who were Gentiles. That means they had not come from the Jewish faith. And they were trying to put on them that they needed to obey the law. Even though they were saved, they needed to follow the ordinances that were in the law. And that being what kind of food you would eat. Because if they were, you know, eating shrimp, to a Hebrew, shrimp's no good. Or if they were eating a pig, pork, that's no good. And so Paul is addressing this issue to the Romans. He says, listen, it's not about what you're eating. It's not about what you're drinking. It's about having righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. And amen means so be it. I agree with that, Pastor, when you say amen, you know. If you say no, man, then I'll know that, okay, I've got to reiterate something. I just offended someone. So, Luke 17, 20 through 21. This is Jesus talking about the kingdom of God. And he says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees, now the Pharisees were the teachers of the law of that day. They knew the Bible very well. And when I say Bible, I'm talking about the Old Testament, the Tanakh. They knew the scriptures of the, they knew the prophets, and they, I mean, they would study it, and they would know, you know, every little jot and tittle. And they're coming to Jesus, and they're saying, now when he had asked, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Now this is an interesting idea, even for us, I think, as Christians, because many people are looking for a physical thing that we can see of the kingdom of God. Has anybody ever heard that? I mean, like, we're going to see the kingdom of God come. Well, Jesus is telling you that's not the case. So if someone's telling you the kingdom of God is coming, get ready, you'll be able to see it. The only way that that is if it's being manifested in the lives of the believers so that you see the outcome. But the kingdom of God is not something you see coming on the horizon. Okay? It says, nor will they say, see here or see there. In other words, the kingdom of God is over here. No, it's not. It's over there. Some would say, the kingdom of God is over in the Baptists. No, the kingdom of God is over with the Pentecostals. No, the kingdom of God is with the Catholics. Right? No. It's not about location. It's not about what your label is. It's not about your identity with some organization, whether Democratic or Republican. See, the kingdom of God is not isolated to the Republicans. Now, yeah, they have a lot of good values. But I'm here to tell you, the Democrats don't have all bad values. Feeding the poor, helping the needy, that's not bad.
Right.
Maybe they've got it backwards of how it should be done, but the overall idea of helping the poor
is good.
And helping them, you know, be better off than they are isn't bad. So the kingdom of God is not isolated to one individual group. The kingdom of God is within you. You know what the word within means? It's inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's telling this to Pharisees. You ever figured that out? He's not saying to the, you know, his disciples. He's saying, hey, it's within you. They're going, what? I don't even believe in you and you're saying it's in me. I'm telling you, if people are not saved, the kingdom of God is within them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just waiting to be hatched, to come alive, to become something that it is already but it'd be manifested inside their heart. See, when I was saved, it wasn't that the kingdom of God came in me. It was that the kingdom of God came alive in me.
It activated.
It wasn't just that the Spirit of God came in me. The Spirit of God came alive in me. Right. Every individual has the Spirit of God in them. It was breathed into the first man. It's been passed on ever since. So it's not something even us as Christians say, we have the kingdom of God. No, we are grateful and thankful to have God within us and the kingdom of God alive in us. But we're not dominated over somebody else or dominating over somebody else because they don't know Christ.
Right.
We've got to get this out of our thinking. Us, them mentality, saved, unsaved, evil, bad. We learned that evil is simply dysfunction. Anybody remember that sermon?
Yeah.
The knowledge of the tree and good of evil really means the knowledge of function and dysfunction. And I'm telling you, a lot of us are in dysfunction, even who are Christians, because we're not being who we're called to be.
Right. The thing that I found so interesting is that there are 613 laws for the Pharisees. 613. 365 of them are negative and 248 are positive. So they had it bad at the very beginning. Like there was more negative than positive in being a Pharisee. So somewhere in there, they're like, okay, wait, this has to fit somewhere. We have to put this round hole or this round peg in this round hole. And he's trying to put a square peg in a round hole. But Jesus wants us to forget about the rules. It's not about rules. I was thinking this morning, I'm going to go somewhere. I was thinking this morning, you know, when people back in the older days or maybe last week, I don't know, would say, you know, oh, you need to get saved. You need to come forward. You need to say the sinner's prayer. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to blah, 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 blah. No, you just need to turn away from what's not godly and seek godly. Seek him. It's not about law. It's not about yes, no. Negative, positive, it's just forget that stuff. Like, forget it. It's not important. If it is important, he will let you know. If it's not important, don't bother. Just turn. Sin is just, repenting of sin is just a turn of 180 degrees. That's it. Go in the opposite direction.
Changing your mind.
Changing the way you were going, yeah. But they were so caught up in all of these laws and stuff that here Jesus is saying, wait, you know, righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit, like, that doesn't compute. Because they are, I mean, and every Pharisee knew everyone, every 613. Like, they learned it from the time that they were little ones. They were brought up in this. So 613, they remembered them. They knew them. It's like we know the times tables almost or something like that. But they just hounded it in. So they're all trying to weigh, you know, they're trying to weigh righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit versus 613. Where does that fall? And it's not about that at all. It's the Spirit of God.
Amen. So this word kingdom is the word basileia. And it means properly royalty, that is, properly royalty, there we go, that is a rule or concretely a realm, literally or figuratively, a kingdom plus a reign. So the kingdom of God isn't just, you know, do's and don'ts. The kingdom of God is a realm within us. The kingdom of God is heaven within us. The kingdom of God is God's kingdom inside of us. Now, how people say, well, how does heaven exist inside of us? I don't know. I mean, I wish I could tell you. Wish I could give you a diagram. This is how heaven can reside in you and still be out there somewhere or some other dimension and still be in you. Because it makes no sense to our natural mind. So forget figuring it out. But just know that it is there. And that you're not in this alone. And that you don't have to try to figure this out on your own. And you don't have to try to develop righteousness, peace, and joy on your own. It's already there. All you have to do is give it some attention, some focus.
Activate it.
Okay, so the helps word study says this about a kingdom. Properly, kingdom, the realm in which a king sovereignly rules. A kingdom always requires a king. So yes, King Jesus is ruling over his kingdom. But King Jesus doesn't rule with an iron fist. He rules with hands extended, pierced. He doesn't rule with a clad foot to stomp on, you know, his people to get him to listen. He rules washing their feet. It makes no sense. Some people think, well, when Jesus went, he's not going to have the same character that he had because, you know, now he's in heaven and he's back in his rule. And so now he's, you know, Mr. Feisty again because, no, this was the heart of God. It says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is the Father's heart to wash our feet, our dirty, nasty feet. Lisa. Yeah. You have to do the mic, remember? If you ever want to share, I just really request for you to speak into the mic because then people who are listening to the message go, what was just said? And I don't reiterate it well enough, so.
I started seriously serving God in a church that was very legalistic. I didn't wear pants, I know. I didn't cut my hair. I know that's hard. You're like, what? Look at you now. But for a long time after being out of it and then coming here, I came here for I don't even know how long. I didn't even know what grace was. I thought I was going to get a foot on the top of my head. And it was very difficult to live that way. Even though I'd read Galatians, I don't know how many times, where Paul is talking about, you're free in Christ. Why are you trying to live like you're still in the law? And what pastor's reading here. And I never could seem to get over it. And still, even today, there are times when I have to put myself in check because I still get that legalistic thinking. And I forget what Jesus did, what Barb was saying, what Jesus did, the washing away. His blood is enough. His blood is enough.
Amen.
And so I don't know if any, I'm only saying this because I wonder if any of the rest of you struggle with the concept of grace, because sometimes it's really difficult to know, because that's not how our world is, and it's not how we're raised. And so I don't know. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Yeah. Grace is those hands extended, pierced, because he became sin who knew no sin. He took on our sins. He took us on upon himself when he died on the cross.
Good.
So back to Romans 14:17. We'll take each word and just kind of break it down a little bit. And if there's any questions at the end, feel free to ask. Or if you have any comments to make, again, during it, this is not the Mike and Gay show, okay? I'm sharing what the Lord put on my heart, but this is for all of us to participate in. So Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness. So righteousness. Righteousness is a tricky word because righteousness, when sought after in your own strength, produces what's called self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is not righteousness. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite of righteousness. It makes our own acts like filthy rags. So we take this wonderful garment. See, when we come to Christ, we come to him in a soiled, messy state. And he takes this amazing, glorious garment, which represents his righteousness, and he puts it on us. And it's because we come to him in humility. I need you, Jesus. How many have done that? I mean, like when you came to him, you're like, I am a mess without you. And so I need you. And so I'm coming to you. And it's like you just approach him by faith. And you receive this amazing robe of righteousness. And you get into Christianity. And I call it that way because it's like you get into this thing. And Christianity then becomes something else you put on. Why? I don't know. But it's don't cut your hair. It's wear a dress. It's, you know, don't eat this kind of food. Don't eat that kind of food. Don't drink this. Don't drink that. Don't say this. Don't say that. And we make it this whole list. I mean, and they used to, the holiness movement, I mean, they made it so people basically lived in little shelters and they didn't go outside because they didn't want to get contaminated. And what happened is because of their quest for holiness, which again, holiness only comes by God. He makes us holy by his blood. When we shared in communion, we remembered that all of our sins are washed.
Right.
All. Not just the you know, the okay ones or the ones that, you know, are, you know, the ones that can easily be washed. Because other ones need like an extra cleansing, you know. No, all of our sins are cleansed. Past, present, and future. We're engaging in a timeless moment when we're engaging with the blood. Even our future stuff's being taken care of. You're saying, well, why do we take it again? Well, we take it again to remember the goodness of God. But we don't have to sit here and worry about, did I confess every single thing to God so that I'm cleansed? Our righteousness is because of him and him alone. We are made righteous because his righteousness was dropped on us. Mm-hmm. When we said, I do, like a marriage covenant, I do, I will, you know, I with this ring, with this heart, I wed you. I mean, it's like a marriage, this relationship with God. Yeah, I get his righteousness. You know, when Gay and I got married, I got her assets. She got my debt.
He's not kidding.
I didn't have that much debt. I'm just trying to prove a point there with a little humor. Because it was a joint thing. What's hers was mine, and what was mine, mine. No, I'm not kidding. What hers was mine, and what was mine was hers. I mean, it was, and that's the way it is with Christ. He's giving us his righteousness. Oh, by the way, with salvation, you get my righteousness. What? Righteousness? That means I'm without spot or blemish? That means that God sees me as he sees Jesus? Wow. That's pretty good. Let's look at this word righteousness. Sorry, I'm getting a little excited today, but that's good, I guess. Huh? Thayer says this, in a broad sense, it's the state of him who is as he ought to be. Is that the right one? Yep. Mm-hmm. In a broad sense, it's the state of him who is as he ought to be. Function. The word righteousness means just being who you're meant to be. It's the way God designed you. And if you're being the way God designed you, you can't make that up yourself. That can only be by the kingdom of God that's inside of you. That can only be by the work of the Holy Spirit. An eternal, internal work. That's why none of us should, I mean, guys, never judge someone else. Because you can't see what's going on inside of them. If it's an internal work, if you're looking at their outward appearance and maybe their outward deeds and you're judging where they're at with God, shame on us. Yeah, we can judge them by their fruit. I understand that. We can judge a tree by its fruit. But I'm talking about passing judgment. You know, the kind of judgment that puts them in a place where they're being like cursed, even though God may be working inside of them. Do you have anything to add? No? Okay. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. You guys ever heard that one? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Sounds like kingdom and righteousness go together, don't they? And where do we seek first his kingdom? I mean, I want to go to God's kingdom. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to God's kingdom. No, I don't do that. You didn't come to his kingdom because you came to church. So many people think, well, I'm going to where God is. No, you brought God to where a lot of God's people brought God today.
Come on.
So many of us think that we have to go to church to have God. I'm here to tell you, if you never go back to church, you've got plenty of God. Amen. Oh, pastor's saying don't go to church? Yes. I'm saying if you don't ever make it back to church, you have plenty of God. And you can have a relationship with Him, even outside of the house, that could be amazing. Now, I enjoy having fellowship with other brothers and sisters because we pray for each other. We encourage each other. We build each other up. We challenge each other. But this is not righteousness. This is not holiness. This is not good deeds. This is a place where love can happen. This is a place where our burdens can be carried by someone else. Where someone can come who just had an amazing experience and share it with others so that we can grow from that experience and be encouraged as well. That's what church is. Right?
Yeah.
That's what righteousness is. It comes from God. Mm-hmm. But to the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever eternal. This throne is eternal, and it's a scepter of righteousness. See, righteousness in God gives us authority. Authority for whatever we need in life, whatever we need to speak to, whether it be kidney stones, whether it be our employer that's treating us wrong, we can speak to that spirit and have it bow when we're in His righteousness, not when we're in our own righteousness. A lot of people say, well, why doesn't the enemy have to bow to me, listen to me? It's because you're in your own righteousness. Because when you're in His righteousness, you know who you are. Authority isn't something that you wear like a badge. Authority is just something that you do. Like when Jesus came to the demoniac. I mean, He wasn't trying to be all puffed up and say, yeah, watch this, guys. I'm going to cast this demon out so you really know what kind of person I am or what I'm holding. No, He just says, you're tormenting a child of God. Get out of him. Out of compassion, He moved. His righteousness drove Him into compassion acts. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace. Peace. Now, the Hebrew word for this is shalom, and it means wholeness. It means a completeness. We think peace is just an absence of any kind of tragedy, any kind of anxiety, any kind of bad situation. We think that's peace. Or it's a peace so that I just feel at rest here for a minute. That's not what peace is. Peace is a completeness and a wholeness that brings a contentment to our heart no matter what the circumstances are like.
That's good.
Here's the word for peace. Probably from a primary verb, ero, to join. Peace, literally or figuratively, by implication, prosperity, one piece, quietness, rest, seat at one again. And then the Help Word Study says this: when all essential parts are joined together. I believe true peace comes when our spirit, soul, and body are working in oneness. And the only way that can happen is when the kingdom of God is at full work in us. The Holy Spirit is able to have His complete way in us. When we're yielded, surrendered, that's when peace comes. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So carnally minded is what? You could say, some people say, well, to be carnally minded is to think about all those things that you did before you got saved that you used to get into trouble with and all that. But the carnally minded is anything opposite of the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Worrying could be carnally minded. Not seeing God in His fullness could be carnally minded. See, the things of the Spirit are not seen, folks. Just like the kingdom of God is not seen, it's inside of us. The things of the Spirit, when tried to be figured out with the carnal mind, are foolishness. And they don't lead to life and peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So even fruit that comes from Holy Spirit produces peace in us of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. What does that mean? That means that instead of quarreling, backbiting, fighting, judging each other, we keep a unity, a oneness, a wholeness, a completeness, a harmony would be the word for unity. Like an orchestra, all playing different instruments, but all on the same song. All playing maybe different notes, but they all harmonize together. A oneness. Even though we may be playing a different instrument. How many know we're not all the same? Is there anybody like me here? I just wonder if there's anybody like me in the world.
I don't think so, baby.
Broke a mold right here. That's a good thing. So I have my own sound. But in unity of the Spirit, our sounds can come together and make an orchestra to God and to the world that brings Him glory.
I'm reminded of the scripture that Paul said when he said that no matter what state I'm in, I find myself, you know, I'm content. And that word content,
whether have much or have little.
Little or lot. That word content actually has connotations of peace.
Mm.
Because he's peaceful when he has a lot and he's peaceful when he doesn't. And we look at peace as being we're completely saturated and we're completely full of everything we need and all is good. But that's not the case. The case is that even when all is not so good, we have that contentment in God and who God is in us. And then all of those things, it just doesn't seem as big. Do you know what I mean? Doesn't seem as negative or as important as we thought it was when we're looking at it through the eyes of God's peace, not our own peace. Because if we manufacture peace, it's not going to get us anywhere. Because our peace is not what God wants to operate in. He wants to operate in His own.
Amen. And notice it's a bond of peace. It's a glue of peace. It holds things together. So the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the kingdom, Spirit and the kingdom can go together. They're somewhat interchangeable because it's the Holy Spirit that resides in us. It's the kingdom of God that resides in us. So the Spirit and the kingdom go very much together. So the unity of the Spirit and the kingdom can be in the bond of peace. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy. What does this word mean? Well, joy. Oops, sorry. What did I do? Oh, dear. I messed up. I did hit it, didn't I? What did I do? Oh, I probably hit that back button. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Joy, gladness. The joy received from you, the cause of occasion for joy. So joy is because of an outer something. It's not just an inner something. It's not just like laughing. It's because of the way you view something. So let's see if the helps can help us with this. It's another feminine noun from the root zer, which extend favor. It's where we get our word grace, actually. And the word charis for giftings leans towards being favorably disposed. Properly, the awareness of God's grace. Grace recognized is joy.
That's beautiful.
Grace recognized. In other words, like Lisa was saying, she came to a place after years of being separated from any kind of organizational meetings. And she came to, at that time, Church on the Move, and she saw something a little different than what she was used to. Kind of the same, but different, because there was like no kind of like real dress code, and people seemed to be pretty loose. I mean, they're not real strict. Lots of people would come up and probably give words at the time. I mean, it was just a different setting. And then she started realizing, wait a minute, it's not just the way I was taught. Now, maybe she knew, like she said, from the Word, but to see it demonstrated, she was able to say, oh, there's a grace. She started recognizing a grace. I bet joy rose up in you. I bet, oh, I don't have to sit there and worry about all these things all the time. I mean, I can't tell you as a pastor, when I realized that it wasn't about how good I preached, it wasn't about how much I knew, it wasn't about how much I read the Bible, it wasn't about how much I prayed, even as a pastor, it wasn't about any of that stuff, that he loved me. That I was just loved. As a matter of fact, I was his, you know, I could say this, I was the pastor that Jesus loved. Just like John could say, I was a disciple that Jesus loved. I was a pastor that Jesus loved. Because I realized that his love for me was so independent, so focused, that I was, if there was the only one, his love towards me. And when that came, there was a joy that came, a release that came, a freedom that came. Now, does that mean that I just quit reading my word, I quit praying? No, because I wanted to get closer to him, because that joy made me want to know this one even more. Instead of wanting to do all those things so that I could be quote unquote holy and equipped and, you know, able to deliver a word on Sunday or whatever it was, better than somebody, because sometimes it was that bad that I knew, boy, that guy's reading, if I could read some more, I'm going to be better than him. I mean, you know, competition can be good, but it can also destroy your heart. Grace recognized. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52. Why were they filled with joy? Because of the goodness of God made them be full of joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's coming from the Spirit. It's coming from the kingdom. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. With much affliction, but with joy. How could that happen? How could it be that in much affliction, tribulations, trials, beheadings, I mean, the stuff the early church went through was horrendous. Being burnt at the stake, much affliction, but with great joy of the Holy Spirit. Or from the Holy Spirit. The joy came from the Spirit of God that resides in you. Are you guys seeing that the origin of righteousness, peace, and joy have nothing to do with anything exterior? Listen, somebody else should not be able to determine your righteousness, peace, and joy. Or stop you from having righteousness, peace, and joy. A situation should not make it so that we don't live in righteousness, peace, and joy. Because it does not come from outer sources. It comes from within. So if you're lacking righteousness, if you're lacking peace, and you're lacking joy, it's only because you're letting the outside sources overwhelm the inside power. Because the inside power is the power that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in you. And I think if it can dwell, I mean, I think if it dwells in you and it raised Jesus from the dead, I think it can take care of everything outside. Amen. It's just a matter of our focus. It's all about our focus. It's all about what we think we're doing when we do something. If you think you're reading the Bible and you're just reading words and you're just trying to get some information in you, that's what you're doing. But if you're opening up that Bible and you're saying, this is a gateway to the very presence of God. This is a gateway to the wisdom, the thoughts, and the mysteries of God. And I'm going to find them. Guess what? They're all through there. And you will find them. It just is a matter of how you're viewing things. If you come to church and you're after, you know, a certain type of experience, that's probably what you'll get. Jesus is really good about being whatever we need to be whatever he needs to be to us. I am that I am. I think God knew what he said when he said that. I am whatever you need. And on the flip side of that, we see in the third of the talent scenario, who got the one talent and he hid it. He said, "Oh, you're a mean miser. You reap where you don't sow. I was a terrified of you." He says, "Well, guess what? That's what I'm going to be to you. He is what you expect him to be. So let's see him as a gracious, loving, benevolent God." And guess what? We'll get a gracious, loving, benevolent God. Let's see him as the one that has placed all that he has inside of us. Because guess what? We'll get the one that has placed all that he has inside of us. It'll be there. It's just a matter of how we view it. We got to get rid of this bad theology. And this bad theology is that the kingdom of God is about performance. The kingdom of God is about doing things. The kingdom of God is about accomplishing things. Yes, we will accomplish things. We will do things. But that is not the kingdom of God. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of that will be a blessing to anyone we meet.
Exactly.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now I can go there. Praise the Lord. Well, do you have anything? No? Does anyone else want to share something? Daniel? He's always usually got something. I saw his hand kind of go up. You do? You always do. I thought I saw your hand go up. But he's getting Joshua, so yes, so you might want to.
Mine is just a testimony of joy and thankfulness, because my sisters and Tim's family live in Florida. And so they had to deal with Matthew. And I had texted my sisters in a common text and said, "Okay, girls, where are you? I'm praying for you." And then I sent a text out to my kids, "Pray for our family. They're in, you know, Florida dealing with Matthew." And so my sisters were texting information each other back and forth on our common text so I would know what was going on. And in the end, they said, "Woohoo, we survived Matthew." And so, and all I could do is thank you, Lord.
Amen.
That you survived Matthew. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his name. And they were like, "Thank you for praying for us." But my testimony is about peace, because even though I knew they were in Matthew, I knew that the protection of God was over them, and that come what may, he had them, you know, and he had me. And I felt a total peace about the whole thing. You know, I wasn't worried. I wasn't being carnally worried. I just knew that God had them and had my dad, even though I didn't know where they were at. And the Lord allowed us to have the technology for them to contact me and let me know that they were okay, and that Tim's family's checked in and let us know they were okay. And so that's just my testimony, that I get to walk in thankfulness that my sisters and my family were covered in such a scary time.
Well, the last couple of days have just kind of been, it's kind of weird. In nighttime, I have a lot of sleep. Sometimes I get attacked in sleep or dreams or thoughts and stuff, and I know that's pretty common. But the last couple of days, just a lot of guilt. Guilt about things that had happened in my past, and it doesn't always happen, but there's little trigger points. And if you let your mind listen to a thought or whatever, all of a sudden all this other stuff floods around that thought. So all these other things come in from these other little things, and you remember all these things that you forgot about. And then all of a sudden you start to feel guilty about things that you did before, or maybe people that you backed up that made bad mistakes, and you made bad mistakes. And this is also as a Christian, you know, not mm-hmm. just as a non-Christian. So this starts flooding back, all yep. this guilt. And then you get really depressed about, you know, things. It's like, "Whoa, I wish that never would have happened. That probably would have caused a lot of problems, a lot of pain." And so you feel really bad. I was talking to Betty about it this morning. It's like, you know, God brought something into my heart, Because I didn't really quite, I know the word, just let go, don't go there, you know, bind the thought, take it captive, whatever. But those things in your past are gone. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, they're washed away, like you said, the future past, your past, your present, and your future, all under the blood at the same time. There's nothing that's not covered by the blood. So the grace of the Lord, he turned my heart from it to be a place of depression of things that had happened in your life. Yeah, they happened. Are you less saved because they happened? No, you're not less saved, or God's not doing less things in your life because they happened or you made mistakes. It's the grace of the Lord that changes everything. It's a grace in the love of the Lord that's poured out over you. And even in all those things, yes, they happen, but the love of the Lord, he washes them away. It's not that he just forgets them, you know. He's aware, but he washes them in a place of non-remembrance. He washes them in a place of love. So it just shows us his. It's a mentality switch. It's how you change your perspective. Don't think about all the things you ever did wrong. But Amen. Think about the tremendous love and the grace that the Lord's pouring on you today and tomorrow and the next day. So you don't have to live under guilt if you're really struggling with it. That's just something that the Lord's covered.
Amen.
I love how he said that, that when God's grace poured over us, it poured over our past, our present, and our future. We think it has to be... like a piece of candy that's covered in chocolate. Each piece needs all the sides and the bottom covered too. Do you know what I mean? But it's our past, it's our present, it's our future that's covered in his grace.
Well, and it's not just the outside. It covers the entire thing, even through the inside.
Right.
See, the grace of God isn't just an outward thing for us. It's so inward. I mean, when you guys think about praying to God, don't think of God way out there somewhere. Think of God right here, right here. Oh, my goodness, Father, you're in us. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're right here. You're right here. You've chosen to be right here. Oh, thank you for righteousness. Thank you for peace. Thank you for that joy. Thank you, God, that your kingdom, your dominion, your rule is right here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, just take a moment this week sometime and just remember he's right here. Right there. Not far away. Just right there. Praise the Lord. Well, anything else? Anybody else? Next Sunday, again, 3:00 at Emerald Care. You go down the old highway, take a left at the main light, Wapato, go down about a block and a half. And what street? What? Attanum? Attanum? Oh, see, I think I saw that. It's like, what's Attanum doing there? Take a left on Attanum and just up about another half a block on your right. And they... will love the kingdom of God that's inside of you, and you will love the kingdom of God that's inside of them. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, God bless you all. Love you. You have a great day.